Bill Burns.
Hello, Frank Cusack. How are you?
I'm A-okay. Having some technical difficulties.
Really?
Yeah. My phone is like not even... I don't know what's wrong with it. People say Mercury retrograde, but I'm like, I don't know.
What are you having trouble with?
My cell phone keeps like either shutting down or... Because I was trying to send this thing to you for like a half an hour or 15 minutes and it never sent. So I'm like, okay, my phone, the screen kept shutting down. I really think like the cell phones, they put a time limit on it. And then once the 3 years or 2 years are up, it goes out. So you have to buy a new one.
Oh, that sounds like an Apple.
No, this is Android, Samsung Android.
Oh, it doesn't do that to me. It must think you're cute and want to see you again. I can understand that. Yep.
You're the cute one.
I don't think that's true.
I know that's true.
Oh, please. Thank God the listeners don't have pictures.
Oh.
They would think you mean eye test. What's going on, Miss Cusack?
Nothing but fun. I'm going to say that because last week we were like, we got to talk about some fun stuff.
That's right. How to have fun.
You know, a lot of people don't know how to do that. I was reading this Facebook post of a friend. He was like, I never thought I'd be 50 years old sitting on the couch watching PBS special with my 10-year-old son. And I mean, for me, that sounded fun, but it's like, you know, some people may think that that's, oh my gosh, doom and gloom. You know what I mean?
I do. But, you know, I think we're raised that way. It's considered okay for kids to have fun. And then you have to outgrow it. Stop being childish. Stop acting like a kid. When are you going to get serious? When are you going to pull this together? You got to develop some goals in life. This when they're 15, right?
Now it's like seventh grade. People are seventh, sixth, fifth grade.
And so... Somewhere we've gotten the idea that having fun and enjoyment is a wrong thing.
Yeah, like you're being lazy.
Right, and I think the problem lies with the fact that we've gotten so afraid of anything that's not standard or traditional that we don't want anyone else to do it either. So if it's responsible or if it's focused or it's dull, that's fine. But if you do something that I don't agree with and it threatens me, I'm going to hate you doing it. I mean, I remember a lot of years ago when I was riding the motorcycle across the country the first time. And I was in Arizona, I think, and I pulled up at a traffic light. And a station wagon pulled up beside me. And the driver had the window down. And he looked over and he said, God, I wish I had done that. And his wife had a fit. And I've never forgotten that.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have fun, you have to be pretty strong because everybody around you is going to say, well, you can't do that. That's not responsible. I don't believe that that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have any sense of, you know, of purpose? Or, and that's all so much garbage. Work hard, play hard piece, at least acknowledge that, you know, if you're going to put a lot of effort into something, you also have to get that energy back. But people don't seem to understand that. And we get into helicopter parents and we get into, you know, minding everybody else's business, controlling everybody. We've developed a culture of what I'll call social fear. You know, wasn't that long ago, there was that news report that Child Protective Services showed up at this woman's house and she was in danger of losing her children. She wanted to know what that was about. And she said, well, there's been a complaint lodged that your kids have been playing in your backyard without supervision. And the woman said, it's a fenced-in backyard. I'm right here. What's the problem? And the woman said, if we have a complaint, we have to investigate it. So it'll be on your record.
Oh, my God.
And around that time, there were a number of those things where people not minding their own business. I mean, a woman letting her 6-year-old and 10-year-old child walk a block to the store, and she was reported to Child Protective Services for child endangerment.
That's just ridiculous.
But it's kind of the norm. No, but when I read anything on Google or Yahoo or whatever where there's a story about a woman giving her child freedom or disciplining the child or whatever, the feedback sounds like somebody opened the door to the insane asylum. And I think that's created a culture of fear, and we're afraid our kids are going to fail if they're not totally serious. We're afraid we're going to get into trouble if it appears we're being responsible. But I think we just have to start to become strong enough to say to other people, you know, that may be your perspective, but I think you're a moron. And that's if funny. You decide you're going to report me, I'm taking you to court. There has to be a stand taken.
It's funny because, like, Davey, my son, was jumping on the bed and he fell off, of course, right. After we tell him, don't jump on the bed. And right. he got a bruise on his cheek. So I take him to school in the morning and the teacher asks, oh, what happened to your face? And I said, oh, he was jumping on the bed. She goes, five little monkeys jumping on the bed. And then my husband went to pick him up in the afternoon, and they asked the same question. And I told him, you know, I think by law they have to do that to see if we give the same answer, you know, which I understand. But in my head I was like, oh, man, just imagine, like, if Davey had said something different, and we could be reported. And right. I was like in my head going, oh my God, this is like really real. Like, I can't believe I'm thinking this way.
Kids are supposed to get hurt.
I know.
Learning is a trial and error proposition. No matter how much you tell them not to do something, some of them are going to do it anyway.
Absolutely.
And then they're going to get hurt. Well, that's part of learning. I mean, it's a different story if the child comes in covered in bruises.
Mm-hmm.
Different story if it's the third time you see this kid with the same problem.
Right.
But we've gotten away from the idea, like on an earlier show we said, people are yelling about kids being fat and then they won't let them have any activities in school where they could lose the weight. Can't play dodgeball, you can't play baseball, you can't pick up sides, you can't have teams because somebody's going to feel left out.
Yeah, the playground that we went to down the street, they're under construction because they're taking the sand out and putting down that rubber thing so the kids don't get hurt. I'm like, oh, they're taking the sand out of the playground.
I know, that's so stupid. Then how are kids going to learn? And then we want to know why the kids get so caught up in their cell phones and in their tablets.
Yes.
What else have they got to do?
Right. And then they grow
but
up.
That's what they're allowed to do.
And they don't know how to have fun.
They're not allowed to even try.
Yep. No. Yeah.
I mean, if you take the normal kid of 6 or 7 and put him in the backyard with a couple of other kids, they will amuse themselves for hours until they get reported for child abandonment because they're playing in the backyard.
Isn't that outrageous?
Yeah, I think it is outrageous. And I also think, in part, it's the fact that social agencies designed to protect kids do such a lousy job of protecting the kids that are really in danger and really hurt that they have to kind of make up the numbers with people who aren't doing anything wrong. It's an opinion.
It's an opinion.
But there are so many kids out there that go to school black and blue. There are so many kids out there that are beat up all the time. There are so many kids that are starved and locked in closets and all this other stuff. And somehow they don't get reported to Child Protective Services.
You know. The case that happened, I believe like last year, a child, the teacher reported the child came with bruises and stuff to school. And she reported it like more than once. Mm-hmm. And the caseworker didn't follow up with it, and the child ended up dead. And I'm sitting in my car listening to this, and I'm like, oh, my God, my heart. And I think she was just prosecuted this past week or this past month. And it's like, wait a minute. You didn't follow up, you know, and the teacher is like, I called, you know, and... Now the child is dead. It's just...
Right. And meanwhile, this kid is, parents get a record because he was playing the backyard alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go figure. I can't. I mean, in a bigger spiritual framework.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own learning lessons and the things that happen into their lives are part of their spiritual learning lesson. But on the other hand, when you live in a society that seems hell-bent on insulating kids to the point where they can't even fill out a job application on their own.
Yeah.
It gets pretty pathetic.
But, you know, yesterday we were on at the playground, and I thought of you because there was these three little girls and two little boys playing around this bubble machine. And the little girl was doing something, and the mom was like, oh. And then she goes, she stopped herself. She goes, I'm not going to be that helicopter parent. And I was like, yes! Oh, my gosh! And she just walked away.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
I was like, Bill, there's something happening. She actually said that out loud.
Yeah, and I think that's terrific. I mean, it's normal for a parent to not want a child to get hurt. It's totally normal. But it's not normal that a parent not have the perspective to realize that that's sometimes a part of learning, and if you don't let them learn, they're not going to know, and then they're going to get in trouble later on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we're talking about fun. My definition of fun is that it has no redeeming social value except to make you smile. Helicopters are fun. Roller coasters are fun.
Oh,
rocket. Gardening, not so much, you know.
Yeah.
And fun shouldn't be restricted by it has to be educative or it has to be this or it has to be that. It just should be a chance for a child or an adult to just let their imagination run free and give them a chance to just be exuberant and happy.
Yeah. But we've lost that. I mean, I know sometimes it takes an effort to get out of the house. But right. I think that goes back to, like, getting your energy back from, you know, the week that you're putting all your energy into your job or whatever, and then you don't have enough energy to go have fun, you know what I mean? So there's not that balance there.
Right.
You need to go.
And it's people not being strong enough to say, well, you know, if it's going to be a choice between my being able to have a life and my being able to earn a living, I'm going to change the job.
Yes. Are you telling me something, Bill?
Well, not directly. You know, but I have a different perspective because, you know, I grew up and once I got straightened away, I went into a profession that nobody agreed with.
Yeah.
And which automatically got me excommunicated from a church. Talk about getting a benefit unintended. And you know, and I had to deal with that. I had to deal with people saying, "You're what? That isn't even real. That isn't," until I needed help, and then all of a sudden I was a genius. You know, and I had to be able to live with that, and I had to be able to be lonely, and I had to be able to be out on a limb not knowing if there was a tree attached. Now, not everybody's geared for that kind of risk.
Right.
But certainly they're geared for enough risk in their own life to demand what they need for them.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's afraid somebody else is going to get their job, or somebody else is going to win, or they're not doing a good enough job. Well, in some cases, that may be their learning lesson, and maybe they do need to learn to buckle down and get serious. But I think as a society as a whole, it always used to be that when there was a lot of pressure on society, that the social outlets became more exciting. I think of, you know, World War One and then World War Two, and you think of the Jazz Age and, you know, all that excitement, all of those movies have such phenomenal grandeur and fun and excitement. And then Now all of a sudden we live in a life where the best films are tragedies and war, you know, adventure, which aren't really adventure, but who can kill who fastest? Well, that may be fun for some people, and I certainly wouldn't want to take it away from them. But at the same time, I don't want to be ridiculed if I want to see Sound of Music again. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes, absolutely. That goes to taking accountability for who you are and staying out of other people's Kool-Aid or staying out of other people's backyard.
For God's sake, don't drink their Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think of me and I think of fun and I think, you know, I really love what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. And I really love the results that it produces.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to own that. Because for me, that was the fun.
Yeah.
Was to see the results of what I had worked so hard to develop in the lives of other people. That's what gave me joy. That's what made me excited, and that's what restored me. But everybody around me saying, oh, you're going to get egotistical. Oh, you can't do that. You know, that's God. That's not you. That's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So God develops a mouth of its own. I'm the next best thing.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? I mean, it's not. But, you know, everybody has different learning lessons, and certainly some people really need rigidity in their learning and need to learn discipline in their lives. But we've become a one-size-has-to-fit-all society.
But when
you can't let this person need that learning lesson and another person learn to soar like an eagle.
Yeah. But, like, when you were growing into who you are and becoming confident in what you do, how did you go about not taking in other people's perspective? Or how did you gain, I guess, or build up the confidence to not let their negativity seep into what you wanted to do to enjoy life and help other people?
Well, of course, one of the advantages of doing what I do is you can see other people's agenda.
Mm.
And most of the people that question what I do or want to militate against what I do are coming from fear.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to look at them and say, you know, just stay in that fear, you deserve it. And I'm going to ignore you because you're a moron.
I need to write that down. I think that's going to be my mantra next week.
That's all right. You'll hear it on the podcast. But, but not everybody has that confidence to do that. I'd been through hell before I got to that point, and I had to learn the hard way and through major tragedy and tremendous confrontation and pain and frustration and fear.
Wow.
So that by the time I came to this career, I wasn't interested in people who were afraid of life or afraid of experience.
Mm.
Or afraid of new information, or who couldn't see that their own life was a mess before mm-hmm. they either tried to get other people to do what they were doing so they'd be a mess too, or make people feel small about their direction because it didn't match what these people wanted. You know, I was over it.
What's interesting now for me is that I can feel in my chest, Let's take Trump, for instance. So he was saying something like last week or whatever about Syria, and his words were something that was like, oh, the children. And in my chest, I felt this thing that I feel when I, so I'm sorry, I'm going around it because I'm trying to be PC and whatever, but I was like, somebody gave him those words. It didn't feel real. someone gave him those words to say. It doesn't even feel like it's, you know, him saying that. And then on Twitter, the White House Rogue Report, the person who's writing it says that his daughter told him to make it look like he cares about the children or whatever, but it was an automatic feeling. So like when some people, even if I don't know them and I hear what they're saying, I noticed this past week that there's a feeling that happens in my chest that I know that it doesn't feel right, or it's not aligning with reality. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but interesting you should use that example, because to play devil's advocate, Trump is having a lot of fun. And he really enjoys the stuff he does.
Wow, yeah.
And he really doesn't care whether you like it or not.
No.
And he's having a really good time, which none of his opposition is.
Mm-mm.
And I find it interesting that all of these people that were on and on about how they were right and everything's right and they're fabulous and wonderful, now all of a sudden are full of hate and anger and resentment and fear.
No.
Because somebody that doesn't agree with them is in office. Now, I'm not saying I agree with either side. I'm just saying, you know, people are just cowards. They're afraid to be who they are, and therefore they don't want anyone else to be who they are. Therefore, they don't have enough confidence or comfort to listen to the other person to see if there are any areas of agreement. And then we're letting everybody else do the interpretation for us.
Mm-hmm.
On television, news broadcasts, and do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And so what happens is people polarize to the mouthpiece they most agree with without listening to the other side at all. And that kind of imbalance creates fear, and that kind of fear means that you have no freedom. And once you don't have any freedom, you can't have any fun.
No freedom, no fun.
That's right. And fun can be thoroughly enjoying what you're doing as long as you're getting the joy of it back.
Yes.
That can be fun. Fun doesn't have to be purposeless. And everything we do has a benefit of one form or another, positive or negative. You know, jumping rope may be a lot of fun, but it's also good exercise.
Yeah.
It's also good for heart health. You know what I mean? It's also good for burning fat. It's good, but that shouldn't take the joy out of jumping rope if you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Nor is it a reason to go jump rope.
Right. But, you know, it's like a lot of people, like, sit at work. Well, I could just use me as an example. You know, you sit at work and you're like, oh, why am I sitting here? What? But you were able to help me say, oh, okay, LaFern, what are you getting out of it? Oh, I'm getting a paycheck. Okay, great. What are you learning? What are you not getting out of it? So if I was not happy, I had to learn to see what was I doing that I made myself unhappy, you know?
Right.
And I'm telling you, that changed my world. That rocked my world, Bill.
Wow.
It did, because I am having so much fun. I'm creating things that I never thought I would, like, you know, 6 months ago, and I'm really enjoying life.
Which is wonderful, which is the whole point.
Yeah.
We can't always run or pick or select or get in our lives everything we want, because that's not reasonable. But we can learn to find enjoyment in everything we do. And if there's an aggressive, hostile aspect to it, then it's up to us to find a way around it and leave, or, you know, find another option, or stand up to the person that's being the bully.
Yes. I like standing up, because if you don't stand up, then you'll want your spirit put you in another situation until you learn how to stand up for yourself.
That's right. At the same time, if you do stand up for yourself, you may find the other person didn't mean to be the way they were coming across. Yes. And when you stood up, they realized that they were, and they changed their behavior.
Yes.
But by you not standing up or speaking up, they didn't get the feedback they needed who approach things in a different way. And so everybody's worried they're going to get fired, they're going to get... So what? If it's that bad a situation...
Amen! Go have fun!
Right. But, and we're talking for individuals who are willing to think on their own. There are a large number of people who can't, and that's fine. The people who have less development spiritually have more fun.
Really?
Yep.
Why? Why is that?
Who has the most fun? The people that you know who go to Disneyland, or the people at Disneyland that come from blue collar backgrounds and ethnic backgrounds?
I don't know.
Which group is just in there having fun, and which group is in there saying, better discipline those kids, or I don't know why they're just laying the mind free like that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It seems the more we develop economically or spiritually, the more we want to control our environment. Of course, when you gain a real spirituality, you are the environment. So it gives you more resources.
One thing you said to me before is that, like, when I do my other shows, that I'm able to make people comfortable enough that they'll surprise me and say things to me that I never, you know, that I'm like, oh, my gosh. So yesterday I was talking to this person, and she goes, oh, I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but I'm leaving my job, and this is what I want to do. And because I had asked her a question, I'm like, oh, my God, what you're doing is so fantastic. I never thought of it like that ever before in my life. And then she just started talking and telling me of her plans and what's happening down the line, and gave me her personal information. I was like, wow.
Right. And that's one of your gifts. And when you're in true spirituality, you are the environment. But prior to that, the more elementary you are, the more fun you have, the more you deal with reality on reality's terms, the less you try to control things, the less you try to limit things. And it seems sadly that because social growth seems to revolve around religion in one form or another, that the more you grow, the less you can be. The more you have to do what other people think you ought to do, or follow their rules, or follow their, and that's not spirituality. That may be growth. That may be learning to change your behavior to better yourself. And I'm not judging that, but what I am saying is that when you lose that ability to be happy and thrilled and joyful, then I think you've lost the meaning of life and of spirituality.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm going to go out today and go have fun with my son in the park with his monster truck and his, I guess they got a shoot 'em up rocket or something. I want to see how this thing works. I know. I'm like, what do you mean a shoot 'em up rocket?
Right. And I think that's terrific. And he'll benefit, and you and Bill will benefit from it.
But we do have to go to Lowry's. You taught me the value of Lowry's, and that is so much fun for me.
That's great. And I'm going to get busy in the kitchen at lunch.
Oh, yeah? Oh, good.
Because there are certain things I love to make, and today I'm going to do one of them for me for lunch.
Awesome.
And I'll enjoy the entire process.
Wonderful.
So, I don't know. I think... I don't know that we ever have a message, but if there's a message that I can think of, it's try to be proud enough of yourself that you can stand up for what makes you happy.
I love that. Thanks again, Bill, for another wonderful conversation of joy, life,
and thanks for you. And listeners, please let us know you're out there.
Yes. Log on to BillBurns.org or theferncusack.com and contact us. Email and... Well, we'll see you next week here on our show.
Take care. It's just us being us. Bye-bye.